Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. This morning we'll be speaking about the grace of God again. And more things have opened up and I want to share with you. You know, again, the reason for this, I think the Spirit wants us to understand the difference between the doctrine of grace and the actual operation of grace in our lives. Now, the doctrine of grace is very important. I mean, I don't want to minimize that because that's a foundation for our, you know, theology as Christians. And, you know, when we talk about truth and error, a lot of times error is not simply believing in the wrong thing, but it's a wrong emphasis. And if the grace of God is not emphasized the way God intends, then other things, other truths are kind of out of whack. It's better to give an example to try to explain what I'm saying. We know the importance of faith and exercising faith. But there's not the right foundation of grace where we know it's by His strength and not our own.
Amen.
Then people feel, well, faith is what I'm doing. I'm going to make God move. You know, we get into a lot of striving, a lot of frustration, a lot of futility. Why? Because there's not enough of a revelation of God's grace. That unmerited favor. So we're not going to dwell on this. That's kind of another word in and of itself. But the doctrine and the truth of grace is central to our experience and walk with the Lord. But it doesn't end there. For many believers, that's all it is. Something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's wonderful. But there's a measure of grace in your life.
Right.
It's spiritual substance. It's a part of God's divine nature that He releases within us, that works in us and brings about growth. We want to talk this morning about something that Marty introduced last Sunday, examine yourself, and how grace fits in with that. I'm turning to Psalm 139. And I'm going to read some verses from there. O Lord, this is a psalm of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down. You're intimately acquainted with all my ways. God knows us inside out. The question arises for me, why do we try so hard to hide from someone you can't hide from? Later on in the psalm, he says, "You form my inward parts. You weave them in my mother. You weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. This human experience that we have, as flawed as we are, what David discovered is God created us this way.
Yes.
Okay? Your personality, your soul, your physical being, before you had one day on planet Earth, God already knew how many days He would give you on this planet.
Amen.
He knows you inside out, and more than that, David is saying, God made us this way.
Amen.
Are we flawed as human beings?
Yes.
Definitely. Now for a moment, let's put on our legal glasses, the eyes of the law, and we look at this flawed human experience, and what's our conclusion? It's unredeemable. As hard as I try, I can't change it. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Judgment time. Or I need a Savior.
Yes.
So everybody knows how that played out, right? That big question from humanity that religion couldn't answer. We got a Savior. Now let's look at the end of this chapter, verse 23. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." Now here's the question I have. God knows us intimately. God made us the way we are, flawed as we are. There is no condemnation for that because he created us this way so that we would have a Savior, so that grace would be activated. Unmerited favor would become our reality. And then he says, I'm going to search you to know your heart and your anxious thoughts. If he already knows us, why does he need to search us again? This is the process that we're in. This is a part of our life as we fulfill our destiny, is allowing the Heavenly Father to search our heart, to try our anxious thoughts. He's not doing it because he doesn't know us very well and he's got to discover what's really going on inside. It's an operation of his grace to bring healing and redemption to us. Now, redemption came on the cross 2,000 years ago. The victory was won. But when we allow God to search us, that's the practical application of what Jesus won for us.
Amen.
It's our way of being able to experience it on earth. Like it says in verse 24, lead me in the everlasting way. We open up for God to examine us, not because he doesn't know what we're like, but because he delights in filling our lives, going to the depths of who we are. And as his Spirit does that, it brings us into the everlasting way of life. It brings change and growth and healing to our lives. Okay, Psalm 26, you don't have to turn there. It says basically the same thing. So why am I reading it? Well, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and heart. Okay, keep that thought. Who's the one that does the examining?
The Lord.
The Lord. Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul has something to say about this. I put these little markers in my Bible and I still can't find where I'm going. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now this, you don't get this from religion or church. I think almost religion can almost be like a drug. You know, oh no, don't examine yourself. Don't ask questions. Keep busy. You know, kind of you just keep coming to service. Just if you're getting kind of answer, you're wondering about things, just read the Bible more, pray more, just stuff it down inside. Yeah. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, examine yourself. Hey, Christ is in you. See what that's all about. Are you really in the faith? Take a look inside and see what's going on.
Hallelujah.
Now, the difference here is, in Psalms, David is saying the Lord does the examining. Paul is saying, examine yourselves. And he says it again in 1 Corinthians, I think it was 11, came in the word last Sunday. Which is right. Well, let's put them together. It's not by our own minds that we examine our lives. It is the Spirit of God that does the examining, his grace released in our life. But it's not like we're just sitting back saying, okay, God, examine me. When you get done, send me the bill or show me what happened, huh? It's not like having a maid come and clean in your house. Okay, clean it up. I'll come back 6 hours later and hopefully everything's taken care of. You put these two together, and the truth is, it's God's Spirit that does the searching, but we must be present with him.
Yes.
In that search.
Exactly.
I can't change myself, but I've got to be present with the Spirit as he searches my heart and life. This examination that comes to us is, again, not from the perspective of law, because if you're doing it from law's perspective, you're going to hear the condemning voice and the criticism. You're going to see and look inside your life, and you're going to see things you don't like. This is not self-introspection. When God does the searching, it's his love reaching areas of darkness to bring healing and light. There is never condemnation with it. Plenty of conviction, but no condemnation. It's the grace of God that's being released and searches us. Now you say, what is it? I thought it's the Holy Spirit. Is it grace? I don't know exactly how to define this. It's all one process. You have the Holy Spirit within you, but in that, as a spirit is able to search through your life, it's the operation of God's grace that's bringing the change and healing. The grace of God goes inside and begins to unlock doors. Comes against walls and becomes a battering ram to knock the walls down. Grace of God comes to closed windows and then unlatches the window and opens the window so air and light can get in. Things that we can't do for ourselves. You know, as life goes on, we don't realize how many doors close inside. Some doors are more obvious. Someone hurts you bad, you slam that door and you say, I'll never trust that person again. And boy, you can hear that slam all through your being. Other doors are more subtle. Disappointments over time. The doors begin to close, that being able to trust God. Really trust Him with your life. We can't recover that damage. We can't even see it. But the grace of God goes in and searches our heart, tries our anxious thoughts. Now, why is that connected together? If you don't let God search your heart, you'll never be healed of your anxious thoughts. Your anxious thoughts are connected to the core fears, those things behind the closed doors that you don't see. Grace is in your life to open all that up. Sometimes it brings tears to your eyes because there's such joy when God touches an area that's been hidden in darkness, you've suppressed. Other times there's tears because it's very painful to let God expose things that you don't want exposed. But it's all for our growth and liberation and healing. Psalm 51. We did this a while back. Can I go there real quick? And please read this later. David was caught in this. He lived under law, but he discovered grace. He had one foot in one covenant, one foot in the other. And you read this psalm, he says things like, I know my transgression, my sin is ever before you. Against thee only I have sinned. He feels that judgment of law over him. As you read this psalm, you know, this is when he sinned with Bathsheba. He feels the condemnation. He says things like, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me away from thy presence. That's the law. You've sinned, you're going to be punished. Then he says things like, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Clean, thou desirest truth in the innermost being. Purify me, wash me, make me to hear joy and gladness. The law doesn't tell you that. You've sinned, you're going to pay. And all of a sudden, David's discovering things that God wants to open for him. He says, you don't desire sacrifices, burnt offerings. All you want is a broken and contrite heart. What's happening here? In his heart, he broke through that veil of the law and discovered the heart of the Father and the grace that was there. Grace is a part of God's being, his nature. So here David is feeling condemnation one moment, and the next moment he's discovering, God, you just want my heart. You want to give me joy. You want to restore me. That's what grace is all about. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What's this process of God searching our heart, bringing us release, healing? We go to the throne, God's authority, and what's there? Grace. And he says, I see your human condition. I see the problems you're facing. I'm going to give you help. And what is the help he gives us? Right here. Find grace. Time of need. Grace is that spiritual substance that God releases into your life to bring the help that you need. It's the only thing that can mix with our humanity and produce divine results. Yes. Grace is what our faith anchors in the heavenly realm. that changes this realm to God's will.
Yes.
In a sense, you know, your faith is what bridges the earth to heaven, but grace is what flows over that bridge and brings change to this earthly realm that we live in. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I think I just was in this verse last time. Is it legal to use the same verse in two consecutive sermons?
Absolutely.
Problem is, I read the same verses over and get again, and I get new meaning from them. This one says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance. Now, we're looking at this operation of grace. It crosses that bridge of faith. What does it do when it hits this earthly plane or our lives? It's powerful. All sufficiency in everything. In other words, if there's grace, God can do anything. Nothing's impossible.
That's right.
Only if the grace of God is there. This is echoed in Ephesians 3:20 when Paul says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What power? The power of his grace.
Amen.
Working within us can do anything.
Amen.
We look and say, well, that's impossible. There's a lot of things that are impossible. When the grace of God is present, the presence of God himself is released.
Yes.
He can do whatever he wants. That's a wonderful thing. And when grace brings change into our life, it's not simply changing the image, it changes the nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it talks about how our works will be tested. Wood, hay, and stubble, do you remember what happens to that? Gold, silver does a lot better. But what happens is when the fire of God comes and the trials of life, our lives are tested. Religion focuses on image. And let's face it, being in the world, think when you want to change things, it's a lot easier to change your image, right?
Yes.
And if everybody looks and says, oh, that person's different, their image has changed, we think, oh, everybody's okay with me now. That's good enough. God doesn't care about image. He cares about the reality behind the image.
Yes.
So grace is not going to just spoof up your image and clean it and polish it up a little bit. Grace goes to what's behind the image and says, I'm here to change the nature. We're new creatures in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Oh, this is, I don't know, I've read this before, but it just hasn't never hit me this way. Paul is saying, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. This to me is all about grace.
Yes.
It exposes our heart and the motivations of our heart. That's God's searching. When we do a search, it's kind of like we want it very superficial. Clean up the externals, but leave the stuff that's deep down inside alone. The grace of God goes to the root. Goes to the things that we want to keep hidden, and that's where the power of healing lies.
Yes.
If all the doors can open inside and the core of our being is exposed to our to his light, then we're released from our anxious thoughts and we can have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
This verse talks about praise coming from God. Interesting, isn't it? Isn't that what we all want to hear? God's affirmation over our life? When he exposes our heart and our motivations, then we can hear the voice of praise and commendation from him. I've never seen that before. We all struggle. We want to hear our loving Father, his voice of approval over us. Like he said over Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We all yearn for those words to be able to, our spirit, our heart to be able to hear it. When you let God search you and expose you by his grace, your ears are open to hear his praise and his affirmation for you. Okay. One last thing in closing here. The grace of God, as it searches our heart, brings balance to who we are. Why is this important? Well, when we look at change, we want to change some things that maybe God isn't even looking at. And other things that we're resistant to change, God wants to put his finger on.
Amen.
We tend to be out of balance. Grace brings us the right perspective where we can be aligned with God and see what he sees as important and disregard what he looks at as unimportant. Grace helps us to accept what's not supposed to change and helps us be aware of the things that God will bring release and healing to. We all know this verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9. God tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul had an infirmity he wanted healed. God said, "Not this one. My grace is sufficient for you." Grace helps us to accept what we deem in our natural mind as unacceptable.
Whoa.
We struggle with things. In our mind, we say it's got to be this way. Right. And we say the same thing over and over again until we believe that that's the way the universe works.
Yeah.
God's got to think that way. I've been thinking this way so long. And so we fight and we fight. Some things you need to fight for, because grace will always support true faith and what God wants to release for you.
Amen.
But if there are areas that you're fighting and you think you're fighting the devil, but you're actually fighting the Spirit of the Lord, grace will open your eyes to see that.
Yes.
And help you to accept what you need to accept. Grace births God's strength through our human weakness.
Amen.
That's part of that verse. Remember, God tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient." In other words, Paul, don't struggle with this. Be content. I know you don't like this thing, but it's got to be here. We never have peace of mind over those areas, do we?
No.
Unless God releases his grace in our hearts.
Amen.
And then you can say, "Wow, I can accept that. My mind struggled for so long, but the grace of God has brought release to my mind." And he also tells Paul right after that, "My power is perfected in your weakness." Boy, this is a hard one for us as human beings. We all want to be powerful, but we want it coming from a point of strength. Why? So we can make a name for ourselves, so we can be seen as mighty. But the way God works is the very areas of weakness, and that's why we've got to let God search us. Because it's the weaknesses we hide behind those closed doors. The weaknesses, we don't want to look at them. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. Grace comes and frees us from that self-condemnation. Because in those very weaknesses, the strength and power of who God is will be manifest.
Amen.
What kind of testimony do we want to bring to planet Earth? The religious view is build yourself up to be mighty spiritual beings, warriors. Out of your strength, God's going to use your willpower and your self-discipline and do great things. That's not the way of the Spirit.
Amen.
Grace uncovers our weaknesses in a loving way, and out of those weaknesses comes the strength and power of God. And why is that important? Because it doesn't glorify the flesh. It brings glory back to the Father.
Yes.
Scripture says, people will see your good works and glorify God. That only happens when grace is operating in our lives. Without grace, we can certainly do a lot of works. Only by grace can our works reveal the Father. Isn't that our destiny? Why are we here? Why did Jesus come? To reveal who the Father was.
Yes.
Christ in us is doing the same thing today. It's by the grace of God that what we say and the works that come forth, besides the blessing of those works, they reveal the nature and the spirit and the presence of our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
People can touch and experience the goodness of God through our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Father, bless our hearts. As much as we value the truth of your grace and the doctrine we believe in with all our heart, our theology is based on that, we hunger for that operation of your grace in our lives. Search us, O Father, let there not be anything within us hidden from your grace. Amen.